This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
What label do you put on Jesus? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that your word may speak directly to our hearts this day. Cause us to realize, O Lord, who Jesus is and why he has come to this earth. And then grant that having found that answer in your word, the testimony that came from his own lips, the Holy Spirit may bring us to faith in that Savior, and where there is faith, that he may strengthen us, that we may cry out, Christ Jesus is Savior and Lord alone. Hear our prayer that we ask in your holy name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and these are certain verses from this most powerful part of God's word. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And later on, he makes another powerful statement, and he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? These words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Christ, we do all our own.
Friends in Christ. Dr. Haddon Robinson, professor of theology at Gordon-Conwell Seminary in Massachusetts, in a devotional article raises the question, what label do you put on Jesus Christ? It is evident from the media that there are many who compliment Jesus with some very worthy titles, such as, he is the most influential person who has ever lived. Now that's a great compliment to which the Christians would agree, but it still does not satisfy the claims of the Bible, who goes so far as to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the only Savior of the world. Dr. Robinson, in this little article, refers to the biographical archives of a leading newspaper in the United States, where one of the files is marked, Jesus Christ, Martyr. He would be in the company of many great people if that is all he could be called, Martyr. But the Bible is not content with such a title. Rather, Jesus is God, the one before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Such language as this is not acceptable to our culture, and it is frowned upon even by some who are faithful members in the most evangelical churches of the world. Our text today is from John 14, 1-14, where Jesus Christ makes two important statements regarding who he is and why he has come to this earth. I think it's best that we let him answer for himself these questions that are being asked. Who are you, and why did you come? When you have heard from Jesus himself, it would seem to me that, in all honesty, you must either give great attention to what he is saying or else discard him as one who is really out of contact with reality. To the first question, he answers by saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, those are not my words, friend. I believe them with all my heart, but they did not originate in this poor old sinful heart. They are not the words of the denomination alone that I serve and have lived in for a lot of years. They are the words that have come from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. You ask the question, is there a life after death? You ponder that matter, and you discuss it with a lot of other people. Now here, Jesus Christ is saying, yes, there is a life after death. He goes on to say that he has gone to prepare a place for us, that is, for those who trust him as Savior and Lord. And then he says he will come again to receive the believer into the kingdom. And there the believers will live with him for all eternity. Now he goes on to say, and this is a part that's rather repulsive to some, no one comes to the Father but by me. In other words, he is the only way to heaven. This is where Christianity gets into trouble. This statement is not acceptable to the millions who are members of other religions or who have no religious convictions at all. In fact, it is very offensive. Sometimes it's offensive to some who confess to be Christians. It's a divisive statement, they will say. It does not build goodwill. Our culture cannot condone such a teaching. It might have been all right years ago when our world was so terribly large that we never saw people who thought differently than we did. But today it has grown very small, and we live and we work with people who have come from entirely different religions and different cultures, and we cannot say to these people that Jesus Christ alone is a way to heaven? I've had some of my good friends say to me after preaching a sermon, you know, it was a pretty good message if you had not only added that one part. It is so divisive. Why can't you forget about it? And the reason, if you are an evangelical at all, is that it is a very central teaching in the Christian faith. Now remember, it is Jesus who has said these words. This is the assigned text that I have read to you today from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John for the church around the world. If your church happens to follow a liturgical calendar, the Gospel for the fifth Sunday of Easter is found in John, the 14th chapter, and there you have that word of our Lord. That is why I came. I came to prepare a place for you. And if I prepared a place for you, I'm coming again someday to take you to myself if you believe in me. For I am the only way to heaven. That statement raises many questions which the Bible has not answered for us. What about all those who have never heard? What about those who have an entirely different background? What would we have been like had we not been born into the Christian culture of our day? I don't have the answers for these questions. The Bible doesn't give us the answer. We leave these answers to a loving Heavenly Father, and He will answer them in His good time. We know this, that He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I have to leave it there, but I cannot. It is my mission. It is a mission of evangelical Christianity to proclaim God's love in Jesus Christ for all people. And this is to come from hearts that are loving. It is not to come from a heart that is judgmental. It is not to come from a heart that is filled with anger. It is coming from a heart that has been touched by the love of God and knows what salvation is all about and is anxious to share it with a world who needs a Savior. So we go on to the second question. We ask, who is this Jesus? Well, the archives of this great newspaper has said he's a martyr. And many would go along with that, and some would go perhaps further than that and say he is the greatest religious leader who has ever lived. In a conversation one day, Philip, the disciple of our Lord, said, "Show us the Father." It's recorded in our text today. And Jesus says, "Philip, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 30, Jesus makes this astounding statement, "I and the Father are one." Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? Very, very clear. Jesus is saying, "I am God. I'm not just a martyr. I'm not just a teacher. I'm not just a moral influence. I am God." The early church pondered these things for many hundreds of years. They wrote it down in the Nicene Creed. And in some of our churches, we use this creed today, where, for example, it says, and notice how these people struggle to try to give a clear presentation of who Jesus is. "He is the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made." With biblical and confessional statements such as these, the Christian cannot reduce Jesus simply to one of the greatest religious leaders of history. To do this is to make the teachings of Jesus false, for Jesus Christ himself has said, "I am God, and I am the way to the Father." So when the evangelical Christian is invited to sit on a television panel to discuss this whole matter of religion in the world. And I personally believe the Christian ought to accept this invitation and be there. But he cannot sit there, or she cannot sit there, as if we are one big, happy family. We all have the same idea, and we're basically all trying to do the very same thing. That sounds nice. That's what the majority of the television audience wants to hear. It is a popular message of our day. The only problem is, Jesus does not give his endorsement to this. This does not mean that we should not give people who have different religious convictions than we do their right to believe as they do, for this is our privilege as American citizens, and we would not take that away from anyone. But this does not mean that we should not live together and be good neighbors and assist each other in every time of need. Suddenly we reach out to feed the hungry, and it doesn't matter what their religion is. Suddenly we reach out to help them when they're sick and they're poverty-stricken, whatever else it might be. The point is that we cannot say that we are one with you, except that oneness is found in Jesus Christ. Now that's tough going for our day. And that's offensive, for the gospel is and will continue to be offensive to the large majority of the people in our world. Even today, thousands of people die to bring the message of Jesus Christ to their people. It is no surprise, is it? St. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in his day, said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." But the cry is to reach out to brothers and sisters in the faith who believe that Jesus is God and the only way of salvation. It is time for us, as we have never done before, to join our efforts to make the gospel heard in our land. For 66 years, Christian Crusaders has been proclaiming this great message of Christ. Dr. Melkert, the founder of this program, was a powerful preacher. And occasionally, I take time out to listen to some of his sermons that we have in the office. There was never a Sunday that went by but what Melkert said: Jesus Christ alone is the way. I was in the hospital one night when the nurse said, "Dr. Melkert is dying. Would you go into his room?" I went in and knelt down beside the bed of that little man. He could hardly talk. I was his successor. There had been one other, Dr. Slachtenhaven, between us, who also was a mighty preacher. Melka took my hand. He gripped it, and he said, "I entrust to you the ministry of Christian Crusaders. There is but one message, that is to lift up Jesus Christ." I tell you, people, I took it seriously. And I pray to God every day when I prepare these sermons and tape them for your listening, that I may not only be faithful to what Dr. Melkert asked me to do, but that I might be faithful to my Lord. For while there are many out there who long to hear of God's love and their hearts are hungry for the gospel, the resistance to the gospel grows stronger as our culture becomes less tolerant of the biblical message. The day has come, my friend, when even in the organized church, where scripture is interpreted in the light of our culture, that we move away from some of the great teachings of the faith. How do we do that? The Word of God hasn't changed, but we see them turn around and say there are different interpretations, and we must deal with this in the relationship to the day of which we are a part. It's as if we were gaining more knowledge. And because we have more knowledge, some of those old teachings are not palatable anymore. So we must change them. In some of our denominations, we are having problem with same-sex marriages and the ordination of practicing homosexual people. Now, the Word of God is very, very clear to that if you take it out and read it. But what has been done by some of those who are supposedly better educated is to reinterpret these passages until you make those things possible in our day. But for the person who picks up his Bible and says, but this isn't so, then there is a question, where do we stand? In this day and age, where it is extremely difficult to remain true to the traditional proclamation of the gospel and all that it influences, we are called to be faithful. And so we are called to be faithful in Christian Crusaders. But we're telling you today, friend, we need your help. We need your prayers. We need your financial gifts. Airtime is expensive, and our program is dependent on your gifts. Would you consider sending us a gift each month that we can proclaim this gospel, that we will be faithful to the Word of God? We ask you for this. Our board is not panicking. It believes that if God has a place for this program in reaching out with the truth of the Savior's love, he will use it. Our task is to be faithful, to proclaim that word as well as we can, and then to let our listeners know the needs which we do today. Ours, yours, and mine, in the ministry of Christian Crusaders, has a mighty ministry, for it deals with the salvation of immortal souls and answers the questions, who is Jesus, the Son of God, and why did he come? To bring us to heaven. That's our ministry. It has been for over 60 years, and we pray that it will be for many years in the future. Amen. Thank you. Father in heaven, we begin to understand how faithful you have been to us. Out of love for you, may we be faithful even to the end. May we not be controlled by our culture, but may the Word of God, through us, help to change our culture. We thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself has said, "I am God, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. April is Letter Month at Christian Crusaders. Throughout this month, we invite our listeners to simply write a note telling where you listen and what Christian Crusaders means to you. In return for your letter, you will receive a free Christian Crusaders Spreading the Light keychain pen light while supplies last. Write us today at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You can listen to or read today's service and past sermons anytime on the internet. Hundreds of Christian Crusaders sermons are listed by date and subject matter. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion and Bible study helps. Simply log on to ChristianCrusaders.org 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Or in the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.